So yeah, Luke, you can see we spent...
Aaron Millian is a developer, and his name is synonymous with a water pipeline he's been pushing for almost a decade. He's sporting a cowboy hat and belt buckle when I meet him at a Fort Collins, Colorado coffee shop. He unfurls a map and points out the features of his latest proposal.
It's about a 3,800-foot drop, so we've got about...
With his finger, Millian traces the route of his pipeline. It would start in Utah on the Green River, then snake across Wyoming before dropping down into Colorado's populated Front Range. Millian says it would cost about $1 billion to build.
It's a bigger project, but they get done every day. I mean, we built a transcontinental railroad last I remember.
His plan takes advantage of a historical fluke. The 1922 Colorado River Compact, which divvies up the water, was written when the river was flowing at a record high. Now, though, for the past 18 years, high temperatures, drought, and overuse have sapped the river's flow.
People say there's no water left in the system. Well, when California has drained and Nevada and Arizona have drained the river and then cry foul because Lake Powell and Mead are low, again, I'll reiterate, had they not drained their, overtaken their share, they'd be full by 4 or 5x. Those are the facts. You can run the numbers.
This river is already reeling. It's nearly close to death from 1,000 cuts.
Nick Scow is conservation director with the Utah Rivers Council. The Salt Lake City-based environmental group is one of many filing protests against Millian's pipeline proposal.
And these big new diversions could be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
For Scow, the idea that there's a surplus of water in the Colorado River watershed is laughable. He says the river's two main reservoirs are dropping, and the river itself hasn't reached the Pacific Ocean in years.
There's this disconnect between, you know, what water rights states are entitled to on paper via the Colorado River Compact and what water is actually in the system.
Let's break that down. What Scow is talking about is this concept of paper water. On these agreements among states, there's a certain amount of water that exists on paper. But that doesn't always match up with so-called wet water, or what exists in reality. Some states have met the limit of their paper water from the Colorado River. Others haven't. And there's a growing recognition that water managers should think of the watershed and manage it as a whole, rather than a disconnected series of tributaries.
The Colorado River system is at risk of crashing Lake Mead or crashing Lake Powell.
That's Ann Castle. She's a former official with the Department of the Interior and now with the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Meaning that all the water gets used and the elevations drop so low that you can't force water through the system anymore.
Castle says Aaron Millian's pipeline increases the chance of those reservoirs dipping even further. But he's not the only person or agency suggesting we take more water from the Colorado River and its tributaries. Two water agencies on Colorado's Front Range are finalizing projects that would do just that. So too would a proposed pipeline in southern Utah. When it comes to river politics, Castle says everyone's fates are intertwined. That argument doesn't sway Aaron Millian, who says Western water law is on his side.
But people think that, you know, California, Nevada, and Arizona can stop this project, or that the governor in Wyoming can. That's just simply not true.
But water rights along the Colorado River are far from simple. So I asked Millian what the odds are that his pipeline will ever be built. He says he doesn't believe in absolutes and gives himself a 92% chance of coming out on top. I'm Luke Runyon.